Hello and welcome to your home group. My name is Tim Fox, and we are coming to you live on the Victory Channel, Roku, Facebook, Apple TV, and all of our digital platforms. If you're new here, welcome. And for those of you that are new, let me explain what this program is all about. Each week, we present a topic, and then we look to you to drive the discussion. You do that by sending us your questions and comments, and here's how you do it. If you're watching us on Facebook, just comment below, and they'll get those right to me. You can also text your questions to 682-302-1301. That's 682-302-1301, or you can email us at askhomegroup@govictory.com. Now, our topic this week, it's a good one. You're going to enjoy this. It's called Living from the Inside Out. Now, what does that mean? Well, to borrow a phrase from our friend Jesse Duplantis, it means that the only Jesus some people will see is the Jesus in you and the Jesus in me. Now, that's just one definition, and I'm sure that our panel can come up with some more, and I think some of you will be able to come up with some more too. So let's meet our panel. Tonight, I am joined by a great group of folks. My work is going to be really easy tonight. Cynthia Villaggio is with me tonight.
Hi.
We all love Cynthia. And Annette Taylor is with us as well. And then our friend Jim Talbot. This is a treat for me, Jim. I've never done one of these with you. This is really cool. So
great blessing.
Thank you for being here tonight.
Amen.
Living from the inside out. I guess I'll start by asking you guys, what does that mean to you, Jim?
That means operating from the spirit.
Ooh.
Living from the inside out. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. He says, all those coming unto me shall receive of me. And we're supposed to live being led by the Holy Spirit. So when we're led by the Spirit, we are doing things that God wants to do to man because we're here on earth and he's not.
Yeah.
So he's passed the baton to us.
Yeah.
And we are to live from a spiritual guidance standpoint.
Okay.
So, okay. For example, let's say, you know, we're at a mall or something. We're
right.
Shopping.
Right.
If we're listening to the Lord, very often he'll say, pay for that person's groceries.
Okay.
That's letting your light shine.
Wow.
So living from the inside out, when we're born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, then there's the light of Jesus is within us, and we're supposed to let that light shine.
Sometimes that's not easy, is it, Annette? But we still have to do it.
You've got to do it. Well, for the, it's just like he said.
Yeah.
Jesus come to live inside me and you. He's inside us.
Amen.
So we're to live that life that he provided for me on the outside. I show it on the outside. It just shows up. And when it don't show up, hey, you better get it right.
Yeah.
And let him show up because he's going to live out of you.
Yeah.
And me.
Yeah. Cynthia?
Yes. So.
Yeah.
Let's go at it this way.
Right.
Out here is circumstances, pressures.
Right.
Situations. You can't go by what's out here.
Right.
If you respond to what's out here, then you're not living from inside.
That's right. Here. That's right.
Inside here is where you take the word of God and you put it in.
Yeah.
So that you go ahead and answer or react or respond to things based on the word of God.
That's good. That's
so
good.
There's something that the Lord told me the other day.
All right.
Because I speak from this platform all the time. If you wrap yourself in praise.
Right.
The circumstances can't wrap itself around you.
That's right.
Wow, that's good. That's really good. Now, it happens when you're born again. That's the first thing. Because if you're not born again, the whole living from the inside out thing is not going to work. We have a clip. It's clip one from Brother Copeland talking about what happens to you when you're born again. Take a look, and we'll be right back.
You got born again, and old things passed away. And all things were made new, and all things are of God. And you were translated from the kingdom of darkness over into the kingdom of God's dear Son, with full rights and authority to live and have your being in that kingdom. Because you are not a subject in that kingdom. You are a joint heir. You are a king. You are a high priest. Hallelujah. Excuse me, back up one second. You're not the high priest. You are a priest under the high priest. Amen. Royal priesthood. You have command authority under his direction. Hallelujah.
Jim, do you remember when you got born again and how it changed you? Tell us about that.
Well, I was in Canada. I played pro football there for a while. And I was not living for the Lord. I wasn't saved and doing everything an unsaved person could think of doing.
You know, I didn't. You were good at it, I bet.
I was very good at it. I was all pro, okay? All pro center. But I remember, you know, I grew up in a godly home. My dad was a minister. And when I got on my own, I felt like I saw a lot of hypocrites, even though he wasn't. But right. I saw a lot of hypocrites in the ministry. And you grew up seeing that because some of them weren't living godly, but they would preach every Sunday, you know, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so I just got totally away from that when I went to Canada. And I was in the world, totally in the world.
Right.
And I never will forget, one day somebody knocked on my door. I was in a high-rise apartment. Somebody came and knocked on my door. And I realized it was the Lord who sent this person.
Right.
Because I was on the edge, okay?
Yeah.
I wasn't illegal, but I was on the edge. And this person who knocked on my door ended up being in the Royal Mounted Police.
Wow.
And he didn't knock on my door because I was guilty of anything.
Right.
The Lord sent him to me.
He was living from the inside out.
He was. And he said, I want you to come to a Bible study. Well, I was so intimidated by it, I would have done anything he said.
Right. Know?
So I started going to this Bible study. Now, also, I had a business in Canada at that time. And matter of fact, he showed up at my office, and he started coming by, sharing the word.
Yeah.
I wasn't interested in the word. But what happened is some seeds got in.
Yeah.
So I moved to another area.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, I had this uncontrollable desire to go to church. And I hadn't gone to church
in years. That had to be God, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was looking at a TV show.
Right.
I can't remember the minister's name, but it's the church that Billy Graham would go to when he goes to Toronto. I think
right.
it's the People's Church or something.
Right.
It wasn't
right.
you know, the one that we know of. It was a huge church, like, you know, 5,000 members, largest church in Toronto.
Right.
So I go to that church, and at the end of the service, you know, they had everybody raise your hand and wants a prayer. I almost raised my hand, but I didn't. So after they raised the hand, he called the people to come down, and he said, I'm going to pray for you. And I told the Lord, I said, now see, I'm glad I didn't raise my hand. I had too much pride, you know, yeah. I'm going to come
down there,
go around people, what have you, so on and so forth. And so I said, you know, you need to be glad that I'm here.
Well, that's
that was my attitude.
Right.
So anyway, but I was so hungry, I went to the second service that night.
Yeah.
So that night I told the Lord, I am not going to raise my hand. And so when they got to my section, you know, I said, I see your hand. I see your hand,
right.
sir. I see your hand, man.
Right.
Put it down. And so he kept saying, I see your hand, sir. I see your hand. I'm thinking, who is this jerk that won't put the hand down?
It was you.
I looked up and it was my hand.
Your hand was up.
My
didn't
hand
even know
was
it.
Up. Didn't even know it.
Wow.
When that happened,
yeah,
it felt like somebody took a fire hose,
yeah,
turned it on full speed,
yeah,
for my stomach, and it hit the top of my head and went all in my limbs. And I was a hard, cold, mean guy.
Wow.
And I'm crying like a baby.
Yeah.
I go down and give my life to the Lord.
Wow.
And I tell you what, I was a new creature.
That's good. You know, Annette, one thing he said there is that gentleman came to his door. You know, sometimes living from the inside out means you just plant the seed.
Right.
You know, your job is to follow what the Lord tells you to do and plant the seed. I know you've done that many times in your life.
I have, but I have similar experience that way. I was born again early age, raised up in Baptist church. That's all we knew, and born again. But got away from the Lord, went in the military, and you know, you get away from the Lord. And so when we retired from the Air Force, I began to be so hungry for God. And so I was going to this Baptist church and another church, and I come away just empty. I just couldn't, it didn't do anything for me.
Uh-huh.
So one day I sat in my kitchen, I said, Lord, I really want to know you. And so It was that next day, similar, somewhere around there.
Right.
I had a knock on the door, and this guy invited me to this church, and he was out, you know, canvassing the neighborhood, inviting people to a big church, and he said, I want to invite you to our church. And I said, well, I've really been seeking the Lord. And he said, well, we would love for you to come to our church. And I said, what kind of church is it? And he said, well, I tell you what, if you'll come to this church, because it was a Assembly of God church, if you'll come to this church and you don't sense the presence of God, yeah, when you're there, I'll get up and walk out with you. I went, my life's never been the same
since.
Praise
God.
That woman in that choir let out, I didn't know anything about the Holy Ghost. I thought it was for the devil. She lets out this beautiful tongue that just crumbled. It was just something you knew this was right.
Right.
And so from that day forward, I've never been the same.
That's wonderful.
And the Lord got to my heart.
Now, we had this question come in from text. This is a good one. Cynthia, I'll let you tackle it if you'd like to. Otherwise, we'll just shoot it around the room here. Do I have authority over my sister's mental illness? Don't you love how I give you the easy ones?
Yeah. No, that's all right. You do not. You have authority to speak to that.
Okay.
Because it's your sister. She has authority over herself. Mm. And you might think that, well, how could she have authority? Because if she's got mental illness, she has to yield and want this deliverance.
Right.
And allow you to pray for her. Then you can take authority over that. Because she's, one, because she's a family member.
Right.
But if she's wanting you to pray, and wanting you to, yes, you can.
Yeah.
Most, you know how you do that, though. Going to Ephesians, praying those prayers that's in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3.
Right.
That keeps you straight without making you pray something that's out of line with the word. That keeps you in line with the word. I remember Brother Hagin talking about his brother, Bub, not getting saved. They've prayed for years and years and years, get Bub saved, get Bub saved. And then finally he learned how to pray that prayer.
That's right.
And Bub was saved, like, within 2 weeks. He was walking and coming into the kingdom without a whole lot of whatever.
Yeah.
So knowing, the first thing I would say is go to the Lord and find out, what am I supposed to pray?
Right.
Because a lot of times we run off at the prayer. Brother Copeland talks about that a lot, that the first thing you do is start praying in tongues. And you don't even know what you're supposed to be praying. Find out what you need to pray.
Right.
Yeah, there's a mental illness, but there may be something about that that you're supposed to pray about.
Amen.
Okay, before you just go and pray about this thing. That's what the diagnosis is.
Right.
It could be something else, like Rick Renner and that woman that he prayed for. Everybody was around praying for cancer. Cancer, binding the cancer, loosing the cancer, getting the cancer out. And by the time the Lord spoke to him and said, pray over her in tongues deeply, when she started screaming out, it turned out it was a spirit of rejection that had entered her as a young girl when her father died early, her brother died early. That spirit of rejection masked itself as cancer.
Right.
And he had to get rebuked that spirit.
Yeah.
Now, they could have prayed all night till she died of the cancer because that wasn't the issue.
Right.
The issue was a spirit of rejection. So you need to find out, what are we dealing with?
Well, I think what you're saying is we need to walk in the light. And we have a clip number 3 from Billy Brim talking about walking in the light and what that looks like and what that means. Take a look.
You were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord? Walk in the light.
Amen.
Last night, I've talked about this. We were sitting around the table, Ken and Gloria's evening meal, and we decided to listen to a Brother Hagin tape. And he got started on teaching on walking in the light. And he said, what does it mean to walk in the light? It means, he answered the question, to walk in the light of His Word.
Yes, amen.
Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So, in order to move into the Spirit of God, move into this move that's coming, we walk in these things that the Word tells us to walk in. Amen. We walk in love. We walk worthy. We put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we walk in the light of the Word.
That's good. That's really good.
Amen.
Annette, she's talking about walking in the light of the Word. What does that look like?
To me, it looks like when you're walking in the light of the Word is you're looking into the Word. You see what it says about any situation, about wherever you are.
Right.
And you find the Word that's going to minister to you. But walking in the light is walking out the Word.
Mm.
So find what you need any given time.
Right.
And you stay with that till that becomes just a reality to you, because this must become a reality.
Yeah. Yeah.
If this don't become a reality to you, you're just wandering around still in half-truth.
That's right.
Well, a half-truth won't deliver you.
That's right.
Or won't help you live successful.
Yeah.
So walking in the light is walking in His Word.
Jim, can you think of a time in your life specifically where you were walking in the Word, that you had to walk through in the light of the Word to get through what you were going through?
Amen. Yes, I can. The Bible says we have an unction of the Holy One.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit teaches us all things and guides us in all truth. And I'm in business, so I've had a lot of opportunities and challenges to, you know, because you're dealing with the world, you're in the world, but you're not of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there was a situation where I had a project with I do benefits with large entities. And there was some fraudulent activity involved that actually stole that case that I had. So my first reaction was to come against it, you know, get legal involved, what have you, because it was through fraudulent means and I knew it and I had the evidence of it, so on and so forth. So I started praying in the Spirit, and the Lord said, "No, here's what I want you to do." He said, "I want you to go to the guy who did that."
Mm.
And He said, "I want you to give him some business." I said, "What?"
Didn't make sense, did it?
He said, "Yeah, I want you to do that."
Wow.
And I did, he did, and God did. So I ended up getting the case back. The guy gave his life to the Lord. You know, God worked it out. So that's the light that we have inside. We're to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, because He's in us, and that's where the light is. It's the Spirit of God. He dwells in us.
That's right.
That's living inside out, because we're going inside to seek Him, and He's never going to violate His word.
Yeah.
And in 1 Timothy 4:15 says we're to meditate on the word, seek to do that, all that's written therein, then our profiting will appear unto all. In other words, we're talking manifestation.
Oh, yeah.
When we get in the Word and we give ourselves wholly to the Word, then our profiting will appear to all. In other words, no matter what the situation is, the Word is the answer.
That's right.
If we go to that Word, spend time in the Word, not just read it one time and say, "Okay, I got it." But you got to meditate on it, spend time with the Word, praying in the Spirit, seeking the Lord, letting Him fellowship with the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit will start giving you answers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And He'll start saying, "Okay, do this, son." And you take that step, because it's the steps of a righteous man that's ordered by the Lord.
Yeah.
And so we got to take the step of faith, because that one step, it may not be the end result, but we got to take the first step.
That's it.
So when we take that first step, then the Lord will, I've been in a situation where the Lord said, "Take the first step," and that makes sense. I took the first step, and all of a sudden the answer just opens up.
You know why? Because God works from the inside out.
Amen.
Recently in church, Faith Foundations, Pastor Greg was teaching Faith Foundations, and this is clip number 4 we're about to show, and he was talking about that very thing, talking about how God works from the inside out.
Yeah.
And we've got a series of clips that we're going to show tonight from Pastor Greg in that teaching, but this is one of them that I think you'll enjoy. Watch this.
the root of Christ is in me, so holiness is a fruit of the root that's in me. Because it changes from the inside out. Jesus talked about this with the Frankensteins, the Pharisees. He said, you guys will wash the outside of the cup, and the inside of the cup's filthy. See, God always works from the inside out. My faith is what makes me acceptable before God. Didn't Jesus say on more than one occasion, your faith has made you whole?
Yes.
See, my faith is what made me acceptable. You don't need guilt, honey. You don't need guilt to live for God.
That's right, honey. You don't need guilt to live for Amen. God. That's a great statement right there. Now, a question did come in, Cynthia. Says, how do you live from the inside out? How do you do that?
Okay. How do you live from the inside out? Again, it's going to the Word.
Yeah.
Basing everything that you do on the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs gives you so many practical things about everyday life. There's a lot in there. But I always say praise. Praise is where you start. You enter His gates with thanksgiving.
So that's what you do.
Praise.
How do you do that? Like, tell us how you would do that.
I enter His gates with thanksgiving.
Okay.
I come into His courts with praise. You start learning the Word, the Psalms, until you know it, pick it up and read it.
Yeah.
But I love Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
Ooh, yeah.
That's Psalm 34:1. You go through that, but then there's also in Proverbs that says, in all your ways acknowledge Him,
mm-hmm.
and He will direct your path.
That's right.
Do you want to know which way to go? You want to know how to get there? You need to get in that Word first. Acknowledge Him. God, how do I do this? God, what's the way? What is my direction? And if you don't know the direction, you start praying in tongues till you get direction, but you start with praise.
Yeah.
Always with praise. Praise is a prayer. Okay. It is one of the prayers.
Right.
We know prayer, supplication, we know petition, but praise is a prayer.
Right.
But it's the bookends of prayer. You start with praise. You pray whatever it is you're asking about, whatever kind of prayer you're praying, consecration,
right,
whatever, but you end with praise.
That's good. Yeah.
It has to be bathed in praise.
That's good.
Because that keeps you focused on Him.
That's it.
When you're praising, you're always thinking of Him. So now you're not making decisions by what's out here.
Yeah. Man.
You're making decisions by what's in here.
That's good. We got a really good one that just came in, and I won't throw this one on the table, and anybody, maybe all of us, may have to take this one. This one is really good. It says, is it wrong to get angry when people lie to you? My boss lies to our department about stupid stuff, and he claims to be a believer. It's a bad witness. So, is it wrong to get angry when people lie to you?
No. You just can't stay angry.
Has that ever happened to you, where someone's lied to you and you've had to you had to work through that whole anger thing?
Yes, yes.
Well, how'd you get out of it? How'd you get through it?
What'd you do?
You get angry, and you know you're in your car, and you have your moment. But you just can't let your moment go too long.
Right.
You can't let go. You're going to have a moment. You're going to be annoyed. You're going to be angry because this is wrong.
Right.
That's what makes you angry, that it's wrong.
Okay.
And even more so when they say they're Christian and then they're still lying to you.
Yeah.
So you want to either go up to them and go, you know, you're lying. But now it's a boss. So now you have to have that respect and that place of submission and all of that. So you go into that, but again, you go to God.
Right.
You go to the Lord. You have to go to Him. You got to go, I know this is a lie. Tell me how to handle it.
Yeah.
But you got to handle it in love. Mm. You know He's lying. And that might not make you trust anything else that He says. So now everything He says, you have to go and check. But
probably not going to trust anything else.
No, you're not going to trust.
No. Well, Annette, I know you have had many instances in your life, I'm sure, where people have lied to you. You've had to work through the anger. Can you think of a particular instance in your life when that has happened and how you walked through it?
Well, yeah.
You don't have to name names. We're not naming names tonight. We're just.
But you know what? I'll take full responsibility for losing it in a situation where the person and I were in conflict, real conflict.
Really?
I wanted to, I just wanted to scream.
You wanted to lay hands on them.
I did. And we did get into a conflict.
Okay.
And so after a while, I began to think, I really didn't handle it right. I didn't want to admit that, but I did admit I did not handle that right. Mm. And so it took me a while, but I went to that person and I said, this is not right. And we can't stay here. We can't do this. Mm-hmm. And so I take full responsibility for the whole blooming thing.
Wow.
Just forgive me for the part I played in it.
My goodness.
And I won't do it anymore.
Wow.
But I took responsibility for it because I was the
you know, you're not fooling God.
You're not fooling God.
You're not fooling him. He knows.
And he told me, and the Lord told me.
Right.
You're not right about this. And I wanted to say, well, you didn't know the whole
thing. Well, see, there's another way I've done that, too. I've been in a situation where I was out and I'm trying to do something, and this person has actually, like, planted themselves right there. Mm-hmm. And I'm feeling the opposition. And I picked up my phone, and I texted my husband and said, pray now. I need prayer.
Praise God.
This is here, and this is what it is. He sent back, got it. He prayed. Took and by the time I got home, he told me what the Lord said and what we were to do about it.
Yeah.
But I needed that help. Sometimes you need that help.
Amen.
And you don't really want to do what's the right thing to do sometimes.
No, because you want to turn around and say, shut up. Shut up now, or I'll shut you up. You know, that's what you want to do. Right. And now, that's a whole nother thing. Now you really got to go back and apologize. You know, so you don't want to have to get into that.
Right.
So, JT?
Well, the Bible says, be ye angry and sin not.
Ooh.
Yeah. See, we're not supposed to act on. Well, I've been there and done that too, okay? But we're not supposed to act on how we feel.
That's right.
We're supposed to act based on what we believe.
Yes.
And so we're going to have feelings, anger feelings, all kinds of feelings.
Yeah.
But we got to learn not to respond to feelings. If we can train ourselves to respond to what the Word says, then we will have the results that the Lord wants us to have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you're going to get angry.
Right.
You know, the devil will tell you, well, you're not saved, because if you were saved, you wouldn't get angry.
Yeah.
No, you're going to get angry.
Yeah. Right. Okay?
You're going to get happy. You're going to get all of these feelings.
Yeah.
But we're not to walk in feelings. We're to walk in the Word.
Well, and part of it comes down to holiness.
Amen.
Yeah, I mean, being holy. And Pastor Greg, this is clip 5 we're going to show you. He talked again in the Faith Foundations class about holiness and what that is. Watch this.
Romans chapter 6, verse 20. Holiness is not me trying to do good or be good. Holiness is not my willpower. Holiness is not condemnation. Amen. Holiness is not works of Greg's flesh. Holiness is not behavior modification. You can do that for a little while, but not long term. So let me show you what it is. It is a byproduct of my relationship with Jesus. That's pretty simple, isn't it? It's a byproduct of my relationship. This is why I'm required to get more knowledge and grow in my relationship. Can you see that?
Can you see that?
Amen.
Can you see that? Oh, that's good. Now, we had a question come in. I just love how this program works, because the thing about this program is it's just real. I mean, it's real people sitting here talking about real issues, taking questions, real questions from real people like you. And you know, and there's no question, really, for the most part, that's a dumb question. You know, people think, I don't want to ask that's a dumb question.
Ask it.
And not in this setting. And I love this question. It said, can people who are mentally retarded be saved if they cannot confess with their mouth?
Which means they can't talk.
They can't talk.
Speak.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So God knows your heart.
That's right.
God knows their heart. You and me don't.
Mm-hmm.
So just because they can't speak and they really want to come to the Lord, God knows their heart and they're expressing all they know how to express.
Yeah.
So I say absolutely can.
Your spirit can't be mentally retarded.
That's right.
That's right.
Your spirit is fine. And just because you can't be verbal does not mean you can't understand.
That's right.
You can understand. You can't express.
No.
But you can understand. And I know this one thing. With my aunt, she was dying. She was what people used to call the black sheep of the family. I mean, she was the one, she was out there. You know, everybody, since my mom was saved, everybody's saved. But she was so sick. My mom flew down to St. Croix to see her. She said, I don't want to go to a funeral. I want to go see her while she's alive. She was not verbal, but mom started speaking the word to her, mm-hmm. started talking to her about the Lord. And tears came out of her eyes. Mm-hmm. Her spirit was responding.
Yeah, that's good.
She couldn't speak and she couldn't say a thing.
Yeah.
But her spirit responded to what mommy was saying to her. Mm-mm-mm. So I truly believe, and I've heard Brother Hagin talk about that. I can't exactly repeat the whole situation, but he talked about people who even they're saved and then have an issue with, but the issue is in the flesh.
Okay. Yeah.
Has nothing to do with their spirit. Yeah,
that's good.
Issues with
yeah,
the flesh.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let me interject this one thing too. God is big enough to deliver that child.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
His power.
That's the truth.
There's nothing too big for the word.
That's right.
But we that's have right. to add faith to it.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you said that because the next question, you led me right into the next question. It says, how do you overcome doubt when you've been standing on and confessing the word, but you're still out of money, food, etc., still in pain, etc.?
The praise cure.
That's right. You keep believing God. You keep praising the Lord. Mm-hmm. And you believe that you receive based on the word. See, the word is where the power is.
Okay.
Oh, word can overcome anything. Lack, sickness. There is nothing that the word that the devil can bring that the word can't overcome.
Right. Yeah.
God's bigger than the devil.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Poverty, sickness, disease, all that comes from the enemy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When we get saved, we have the unction of the Holy Spirit in us. The power source of God dwells in us. And to the extent, but it's not automatic.
See? No.
We've got to get the word, believe the word, meditate in the word, get in our spirits so we're not operating out of our heads but out of our spirit. When we operate out of our spirit, there is nothing that the devil can put in front of us that we can't win.
That's good.
So
that's...
let me do an illustration of what he's talking about.
Okay.
The woman at the well. No, I'm sorry. Not the woman at the well. The woman who came to Jesus and said, good master, rabbi, my daughter is grievously vexed. With his spirit. And Jesus didn't answer her. Because she went to him first with, talking to him with a religious term.
Right.
Trying to placate him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she didn't have the right to use that term because she wasn't a Jewish woman.
Mm-hmm.
So she went with it to him, phony.
That's right.
And he didn't answer her. So she went to the disciples. The disciples said, get rid of her. Mm-hmm. But when she came back, she fell at his feet and worshiped. When she worshiped, she asked for her daughter. Again, he said, it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the children. She said, well, what your kids don't eat and drop to the floor, humility. I will take.
Humility.
So the humility came in, but she worshiped.
That's right.
Wow.
When she worshiped, Jesus was able to. So when you have these situations for years and years, there's no money. I remember when I was in that situation. I was a single mom. I was divorced and my two kids and I was cooking ramen pried noodles. You have no idea how bad that stuff tastes. But ramen pried noodles with Vienna sausages. And I know how to make them. I can make them taste good. I'll never eat them again, but I can make it taste good. But I remember praying this unbelieving prayer. To this day, I remember me going, but God, please, if not me, for the kids. And I'm trying to bribe God. I didn't know that then.
Sure.
But that's all you were really doing.
Yeah.
You were not coming. I wasn't going to God in faith.
No.
Right.
No.
And we think we are in faith a lot of times. We think we're in faith because we write down everything and we're going to confess what we heard Brother Copeland confess.
No.
But it was part of him when he confessed it. It's not part of you sometimes.
Yeah, well, part of it, you have to grow into holiness.
You have to
grow into it. And Pastor Greg, we have a lot of Pastor Greg now. He's not here in person, so we had to put him on the program a lot tonight. So he's talking about growing into holiness. Take a look.
See, every human has a holy place. They don't have a holy place. They have a spirit. And when they become born again, he recreates that spirit into a holy place. Now, it may be small, but it will grow in the knowledge of him. And as it grows in the knowledge of him, the definition of holiness, we don't know what we will be, but we know this, when we see him, we'll be like him. We're growing into his very own image.
Oh, that's good. And when you grow into his image, you get things like this that you can deal with. And I'll throw this one out there. What do you do when people want to argue with you over what they believe?
Well, I got a good one for you.
I thought you would.
Okay, you do not get in there in their argument.
Yeah.
Rather, I believe it was this come from, this is good. It's carnal, but it's good.
I love.
Okay. Brother Roberts said this. He who wrestles with a skunk, even though he wins, still comes out smelling like a skunk.
Hello.
And that's what you're going to do if
Hello.
You start arguing theology.
Yeah.
Or belief. What is your belief? Okay, that's your belief. Just bless you. Bless you. Let them go on.
Yeah.
But don't argue with it.
Yeah.
You're going to come out smelling like a skunk.
Kind of hard to.
No question. I had experience like that several years ago. I was in an agency, and a friend of mine in the agency was a strong believer.
Okay.
He and I were really the two strongest believers in that agency, and we were witnessing the people all the time, so on and so forth. Well, this guy's brother was an ex-special force guy, martial art expert, so on and so forth, and he literally hated God. So the brother who was a friend of mine, who was a strong believer, said, "My brother respects you, Jim." He said, "Can you witness to him? He won't listen to me." This guy was like a genius too, real smart.
Really?
He said, "He won't listen to me." He said, "You know, would you talk to him for me?" I said, "Sure, I will." So anyway, I go. I start talking to him. And every time I would say something, he would cut me right when I get to the point that I wanted to make. It's like the devil would cut me off. After a while, I got mad. He got mad. We're arguing. And we were raising our voices and what have you, and I was so upset, what have you. So afterwards, I really felt bad about that.
Yeah.
Because I literally got in an argument with him about the Lord. I'm thinking, I'm going to get this guy saved, you know?
Right.
And I got so convicted.
You were being the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I was trying to.
You're trying to be.
I got so convicted afterwards. You know, I mean, I almost cried. I mean, when I went to my prayer closet, and the Lord told me, he says, "I didn't tell you to argue with people about me." He said, "I told you to present me. It's not your job to get them saved. Well, it's my job to get them saved. It's your job to present the word."
Right.
That's it. And whether they receive it or not has to do with them and me.
Oh, that's good.
He said, "Don't ever argue my word again." Okay. The moral, the good news of that story is this guy left and went from that. I guess some seeds got in his spirit. He went to a spiritual convention, and gave his life to the Lord a week from that point.
Wow.
But it wasn't because of, you know, I did it right.
Somebody else reaped it. You
That's
just
right.
showed it.
Yeah.
So,
kind of hard there, but
We're not supposed to argue the word.
Okay. This question came in. We'll get to clip six in a minute because that's a good one. I wanted to get to that clip tonight before we get done. This one says, "My son goes to a Christian school and is in the 10th grade. His Bible teacher has been putting down prosperity pastors like Creflo Dollar and Kenneth Copeland. He calls them false prophets. It hurts his feelings. It hurts his heart knowing that his teacher is wrong and takes things out of content. How would you handle this?"
I would tell him to just respect his teacher.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to let that belief get into him because he has a better belief. And if this teacher doesn't want prosperity, let him go live in poverty.
This is what I was looking for.
Okay.
It's 2 Timothy 2:23, "But foolish and unlearned questions avoid."
That's right.
"Knowing that they do gender strifes."
Yeah. Ooh, wow.
That's
right.
That is it, and it's in another place too.
Yeah.
You cannot.
Absolutely.
Okay, you can't argue with stupid.
Right.
Right.
What else am I going to tell you? You can't argue with stupid.
Well, and if people don't understand the truth, you're not going to make them understand.
Right. No, you're not. You're not going to win somebody by an argument.
No.
Yeah.
This has got to be a heart thing.
Right. Exactly.
So it's not that. But it says, he is proud, knowing nothing but doting about questions and strifes of words. Mm-hmm. Whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil, submission. So they don't, like you say, you never got into anything anywhere with that guy.
No.
It stirred up something and somebody else came and smoothed it over and he got saved. But arguing with people is never going to get you back out of the argument, back out of it. What I used to tell my kids when they were going to a Baptist school, they said, well, they said not this, not this. And I said, just pay no mind. When we leave there and go to church, we know what's right. That's it.
A lot of times what we do is more powerful than what we say.
Hello.
I learned later that that same gentleman respected me because of the walk I had.
Yeah, yeah.
And
but if you had kept arguing with him, he would not.
Well, I thought it turned him off completely. I thought I lost this guy, you know.
Right.
And I almost came to blows kind of thing. Well, not literally, but it was that hot, okay?
Right.
We were like hollering and screaming. And I still was kind of a baby back then. And then I come from I've had some rough experiences in my life. So I wasn't a back off kind of guy, you know.
Right.
But we're to walk in love. Love is the greatest power there is. When they see the love of God, there's no greater power.
That's exactly right.
So if somebody is off, you know, if they don't understand prosperity, it's not my job to get them to understand.
No, well, that's good.
You know,
I'm going to let Pastor Greg talk to you about what's on the inside. But before I do that, let me give you the information again on how you can be a part of the conversation, because we want you to do that. This is your program. We want you to be a part of it. You can text your questions to 682-302-1301. That's 682-302-1301. Or you can email us at askhomegroup@govictory.com. If you're watching on Facebook, just write your question down there and they'll get it to us. Now, this is Pastor Greg. Pay close attention to this, talking about what's inside.
So we go into the market and this is sitting right there on the shelf next to this. Which one am I going to buy? How many of you want this one? How many of you want this one? Why do you want this one? Because you don't know what I got in my old sack here, right? This old bag. I don't know what he's got in that bag. They didn't even spell it right. Somebody told me a while ago it was redneck cookies. I went, really? Even if this package was empty, even if the package was empty, looking at the package, how many of you want some milk and stuff right now? Look, hands all over the room. Don't go to the fridge yet. Come back, come back, come back. Even if the package was empty, you knew what was in it. Right? I mean, it's double stuff. Come on. Jesus. I've got a son that takes two double stuffs and stick them together, and they're quad stuff. Even if the package is empty, you know what's in there. You know what it represents, right? I grew up with this image of holiness. Come on now. Nobody wanted that. This one, give me this one. But see, it's what's inside that this package is nothing. It's what's in here. It's what's inside. Let me help you with something. The world does not know God. Even if they think they do, they don't. They don't think like Him. They don't know Jesus. Let me help you with something. They know you.
Amen. Come on. Amen.
So what's in you?
Yes.
Is the double stuff in you?
Yes.
Then you need to let the double stuff out. Kick it to the curb. I did. All right?
What a great illustration. What a great illustration. Now, you can go back and watch that on emic.org. I mean, it's there on the archives. You can go back and watch that. You probably need to watch the whole thing in context, but even those little clips we've been showing are really powerful in and of themselves. Cynthia, we had somebody that wanted you to repeat that scripture that you read a moment ago.
So in the King James, it's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender stripes. Mm-hmm. In the New Living Translation, it says, again, 2 Timothy 2:23, again, I say, don't get involved in foolish, ignorant arguments that only start fights.
Oh, that's good.
That's right.
That's good. Now, this question came in. Does God forgive presumptuous sins?
Well, God only knows how to forgive sin. I don't care what kind they are.
Amen.
Whatever you call them.
You call
God forgives sin.
That's right.
Thank God.
Yeah.
That's right. Jesus paid for it.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
He forgives sin. It don't matter what kind
of
it is.
If you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you
of your sin
and cleanse you from all unrighteousness.
That's pretty good.
And anyway, John 3:16 says he's not mad at the world anymore.
Right. Do you guys ask for new infillings of the Holy Spirit?
No, I just...
No. The Bible says be being filled.
Right.
Be being filled.
All right.
So you're constantly, as you're fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, you're constantly filled. You stay
filled.
Oh,
that's good. Yeah. That's
you don't have to ask him to fill
you. But you're not asking him for
anything. Once he's there, he's there. But you have to partake in it.
That's being God inside minded.
That's right.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. Brother Copeland has clip A, or actually this is, I'm sorry, clip A is Pastor Greg talking about being God inside minded. Take a look at this.
And I want you to know, those of us that will let and allow God to develop this on the inside of us and come to a place where we have a God inside me right now, consciousness, He is in me, He is walking in me, He is operating inside me, He's working through me, He's working in and out and in and out and out and in and around, hallelujah! And stop limiting the God of glory. Hallelujah. I'm excited about it, as you can tell. Because I tell you, I believe with every fiber of my being that we are so close. We are so close. Hey, come on. We're not waiting on God. He's been waiting on us all this time to finally get with the program. Amen.
Yeah. Well, of course, I know the difference between Brother Copeland and Pastor Greg.
That yes, you do. It was the other people that told you that.
No, this one came in. Why do I still act so much out of the flesh? I have really struggled hating myself because I don't live from outside in or inside out.
You have got to renew your mind to the Word of God. Otherwise, you're going to stay flip-flopping.
Yeah.
So Romans, 12:2? Mm-hmm. It tells you what to do so you don't keep living out of the flesh all the time.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Or being carnal.
Yeah.
Or being carnal-minded.
Right.
So renewing your mind is your answer to success.
To success in living.
Well, you got to look at what you're doing all day long. So you look at your full day. What is it? How much of that time have you put into Word? What did you do when you woke up? Did you wake up and praise God? What are you doing?
Well, how do you do that when you have a job? If you work, how do you do that?
Well, you have to go in the bathroom and get cleaned up. Why aren't you praising God while you're in there?
Okay.
I mean, it's part of your day. You get up out of your bed. Your mouth is moving, so say something right.
Right.
So start praising God.
Mm-hmm. And Paul said, I pray in the Spirit more than ye all.
Yes.
You can pray in the Spirit almost all day long.
Yeah, be guilty of that.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, you know, you can be going about your business, what have you. Say you have a phone call, make the phone call, get off the phone praying in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Just make it a habit.
Yeah.
I do it now sometimes by rote. I'm not even really paying attention to what I'm doing. I'm praying in the Spirit, you know, because I'm a habit. Because what you're doing is building up your most holy faith by praying in the
That's
Holy
good.
Ghost.
That reminds me of something Brother Copeland, the story that he shares about Smith Wigglesworth. And someone asked him one time, how often do you pray in tongues? How often do you pray in the Spirit? He said, about 15 minutes at a time, but I rarely go about 15 minutes without praying.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it's a constant dialogue.
Sometimes you got to give up some of your social media time.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So what are you going to do when you wake up in the morning? I'll tell you what I do when I wake up in the morning. I go make my coffee. I come back, I drink my coffee. I get up, I go in the bathroom and start to get dressed. And I look in the mirror and I look deep in my eyes and I say, the glory of God is looking back at me.
Amen.
I tell you, that's a good practice.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to practice because that's the truth.
That's good.
That's right.
The glory of God is looking back at you, and something on the inside of me is working on the outside.
Oh, that's good.
So you've got to present these truths, put them in your mouth, and say them till they become your truth.
That's right.
That's good.
And you speak over your day. Was it Marilyn?
Absolutely.
Used to say, today is going to be the best day of my life because Jesus Christ lives big in me today. Yeah.
Isn't she precious? I just love her. I mean, she was here not too long ago, and you saw her on the broadcast. Yeah. She's just a lovely person.
Yes.
And I mean, you could learn something listening to
somebody.
And
you got to run to keep up with her.
Well, don't you ever?
Amen.
Yeah, do you ever? Now, I got this question that came in. It says, When are people going to start helping? Boots on the ground. Believers need to help other believers. This is the heart thing in the. This is the heart a heart thing in the body of Christ.
Okay, but I need to know what they're talking about.
Well, I don't need to. But my job is to ask the questions. My job.
Because they
want to
know when a believer is going to help other believers.
Yeah.
But help them what?
Yeah.
Help. Right. Help what? To
okay.
Help you what?
It all starts with you.
Rayana. Text us back or call us back and let us know what you mean by that. We'll get back to that. Okay. He who comes to me, I will no wise cast out. John 6:37. The word you put in your heart in your heart will change from the inside out. All of a sudden you'll find yourself responding differently than you used to.
That's right.
And surprise yourself. That's a good comment.
Good.
Yeah. I like that one.
Yeah.
Okay. You said something a minute ago.
What?
Read what you got there on that. I mean, that's good stuff right there that you got right there.
Which one?
Yeah. Well, the one right there, the one right in front of you.
No, this one says, but if we confess our sins.
Okay. Okay.
To him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Okay. All right.
That's 1 John 1:9. Or did you want the other one?
No, that was a good one. That was a good one. We got one more clip from Brother Copeland. Talks about believers are light. Believers are light. Yeah. Take a look at this.
Amen.
What communion hath light with darkness? So he's calling you and me, the believer, light. Well, sure. We're born of the light. We're children of the light. And we put on the armor of light. And we're in him in whom there is no darkness at all. Amen.
You know, that reminds me of something I've always heard in my life is... preach the word always,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes use words. Isn't that what we're talking about here? Mm-hmm. We're talking about just living from our inside out, just showing the love of Jesus by being us who we are.
Right.
Because love himself resides in us. And so if we're letting him reside in us and then come out, that's what we're doing. We're living from the inside out and preaching the word always and sometimes using words.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, I know you've done that many times in your life. You know, where you've been in situations where that's all you could do.
That's all I could do was say what the Word of God says. Instead, if I didn't say what the Word of God said, mm-hmm. I would have been overtaken with what was going on
right. In
the natural. But I was not about to be taken down. I knew enough about the Word of God that was for me that I was not going to be taken down. So if I had to just think it and let them rave, I did it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's good. We actually got a response on that question about boots on the ground.
Yeah.
It said, in response to someone having needs and not just praying for them, but providing for their physical needs. That comes down to listen to the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. That does come down.
You said that earlier.
Yeah. Yes.
The Holy Spirit sometimes may tell you, buy that guy's lunch or, you know, make that guy's car payment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we need to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He wants to lead us.
Right.
You know, for example, it's not unusual for me to bless somebody like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They're at the grocery store. The Holy Spirit, I don't just do it on my own. You know, the Holy Spirit will say, pay for that person's groceries.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll do that. Or I can be in a restaurant. The Holy Spirit, case in point, man came in with his daughter. Little girl spending one-on-one time with his daughter. Now, that's special. Because a daughter and father, that's a very special relationship. So this man is ministering to his daughter. So the Holy Spirit said, pay for their bill. And so I told the waiter, I said, look, I want you to pay for the bill. Do not tell them who did it. Just tell them that God loves them. Now, I've had to do that before, and the Lord told me to let them know they did it. He said, well, why the difference?
Yeah.
Because in the situation where I didn't tell them, it blessed the people in the restaurant.
Yeah.
And they started, next time I went in there, they started talking about the Lord. It just changed the whole environment.
Yes, mm-hmm.
So we got to be led
hearing him,
how
hearing
God him. Wants us to do things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in another situation, God wanted the ministry to go to that particular person.
Right.
So we just need to be open at all times to be able to be led by the Lord to do what he wants us to do.
Yeah.
The way he wants us
That's
to
right.
do.
Yeah. Cynthia, how do you do that? I know you've done it before too, you know.
Well, I thought of times that I've helped someone a mother with a, you know, because I've been there, a mother with a daughter, whether it's to give clothes.
Right.
It's not everybody
right.
that comes up that has a need that you do something
exactly.
for.
Yep.
You have to be led of the Lord,
absolutely.
But you also have to make sure that you are hearing him.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're hearing him.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody just going and saying, all right, everybody who has a need, we're going to do this and this and this. They're going to still have that need.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
They're going to still have that need because all you're doing is training them to take.
Yeah. yeah.
And that's a government program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We don't need to have people just taking.
Yeah.
But yes, I agree with not just praying for them, but they need to be taught.
That's good.
That's right.
They need to be taught. I heard Jerry Savelle talk about the first guy that flew for him. He said, if you come into the meeting and you stay for a year and you listen, he talked about it Friday.
Yeah, he sure did.
He said, if you listen to what I'm saying and do, the problem with us in the body of Christ, and we only got like 3 minutes.
I know.
The problem with the body of Christ is we go to church and we take notes. Notes, notes, notes. And we got 20 books of notes and we've done nothing that was in the note.
Yeah.
We would all come up to the place where we're supposed to be if we would do.
Act on it.
Act on the word.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And that's why praise doesn't cost you. Praise is not something. You know, there are other things in the body. Well, there's this that the prophet does and there's this that the evangelist does. The revelation said, I saw both small and great before the throne, which means there is nobody. There's nobody higher than anyone else before the throne. Everybody has that right to praise. And praise will get you out of the need. Praise will get you out of the sickness.
Amen.
The praise will get you out of any circumstance.
Wow, we got this text. I love this. It says exactly what you were saying. Brother Hagin used to say, what you are speaks so loud that people can't hear what you say.
Mm. Amen.
It's true. Yeah.
Selah.
Yeah.
Selah. Final thoughts. Final thoughts. Real quick, about a minute.
You got like, we can count you down. Oh. Go ahead.
The word of God is the key.
Yeah.
You get the word in your spirit and you obey the word. The Holy Spirit will never violate what the word says.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you know what the word says, you won't know if the Holy Spirit is telling you right or wrong.
Right.
That's why it's so important, because this is where the power is the word of God.
Yeah.
And I'll shut up.
Annette?
There's no situation that you'll come up against in your life that the word of God, the life of God that's on the inside of you, can't take you through any situation.
Yeah.
But you have to trust him and know what he says about every situation.
That's right.
Wow. Mm-hmm. This is not hard. It's not hard.
Mm-hmm.
If you would just take day by day, sometimes minute by minute, and take the word. Listen, go to the word.
Yeah.
The word is going to answer everything.
That's right.
Is it going to answer, should I put on this clothes or not? Well, you know what? The Holy Ghost will tell you that.
Yeah, he will.
If you go ahead and start connecting to yourself to him that way,
that's right.
He'll even lead you in that.
But
don't look at it as a hard thing. It's an easy thing.
I don't know how it happened, but we are almost out of time. My goodness. Make sure that you watch next Wednesday. We're going to be live at EMIC. We won't have home group here. We'll be live at EMIC with special guest speaker Irving Roth. Was in Auschwitz. I mean, a great story. And then in 2 weeks, the Wednesday right before Thanksgiving, a special home group with David Barton and a panel you don't want to miss, the history of Thanksgiving. It's going to be really, really good. Those are the next 2 weeks here on Home Group. Thank you all so much. It's been great to have you all tonight.
Thank you. It's
been fun. Listen, folks, we love you. We love you. We love you. And remember this, until next week, God loves you. We love you. And Jesus is Lord.